Let's pick up in midstream with the second part of this provoking message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
Got it? Just in case you didn't, we're going to go a little deeper. I challenge you, go to blueletterbible.org and do a word search on one another. Whoa. One another. There's a lot of one another's. And it's referring to the church. Let's take a look at a lot of these. Here we go. And I'll read the verse and then the reference. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That comes from John chapter 13. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt of love for one another. Pause right there. Heart check. How many of us think that we owe the church love? We owe the church love. Write that one down. Oh, please. Write that one down. Pray and reflect on that. You, I owe the church love. Soak down that one for a while. Soak in that. Doesn't that tick us off? How many of us are thinking, damn right, the church owes me love? Are you ready to go to fight to love the church, to love it as a man would love his wife, or as Christ would love the church? Are you? Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. Oh wait, there's more. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. The heart, that's where the fight is, isn't it? Why do we keep coming back to the heart? Jesus is very, very intrusive, isn't he? He doesn't just want you to do something. He wants you to sincerely love in your heart. Give me a little heart. Love the church. Understand, that's where we come back to sacrificing. Loving, obeying Christ feels like we're going to the cross. Because in our little way, we are. We are. Because if I love the church, they'll hurt me. They'll fail me. They won't appreciate me. Yes, yes, and yes. Go love the church. Congratulations, you're following Jesus. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another, 1 John 3:11. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us, 1 John 3:23. Come on now, stop burying me in these commands to love the church. I'm running out of excuses. I hope so. I hope this is just like ripping into us, but that's the Holy Spirit's job. Let's keep going. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And that's 1 John 4:11 and 12. How we doing? Are we getting the big picture? That's what I'm saying. The scripture is so concise. The biggest challenge when I'm going to put posts out there in the Facebook land, the biggest challenge I see is people don't trust. The Bible clearly has written stuff down. They just don't believe God. It's so sad because there's so much clear, concise teachings, and we miss it because we don't take the effort to know it. So, there's a few more. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Yeah, right. I'll serve, but it's because I'm better than them. No way am I going to honor them above myself because they failed me. They fail us. The church does. The church is the big goof troop going around, stumbling forward, bloop, trying to get things done, trying to get organized, and it's all non-profit, so no one's getting paid to obey Jesus. It's kind of tough. Galatians chapter 5, 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another. This is now we're getting into the nitty-gritty how to do it. Serve one another. Oh, but that means effort. That means I have to look at my schedule and decide when I'm going to do it. That means I need to plan it in advance and get organized and put it in my life plan. I'm going to serve the church. And here is how. Well, that takes even more effort, doesn't it? Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's the blessing of the church. We get to come together and practice being patient with each other. How many of you just love that blessing? I just love coming to church and being patient. Yes, I'm being patient. Oh, yes. Right? And then we leave here and we start that grumbling that we're commanded not to do. Praise the Lord. This is no surprise to God. This is what it's all about. God uses the sinful nature of the other believers, the other Christians, to expose our sinful nature so we can repent and become more like Christ. That's the blessing of community. That's the blessing of the church. You don't hear that from too many pulpits. All right. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us consider. Ooh, wait a minute. Now, Lord, that means I really got to plan out ahead. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, just that, this bears repeating. Let us consider. Let us consider before next Sunday. How are you going to consider how you're going to encourage each other before next week's over? What's your plan to seek and to serve someone in this body before next week? Consider how we may spur one another on. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. All you need to do is put yourself in the other person's shoes for a second, and all of a sudden things become clear. It's like, yeah, you're right. Pain hurts. The church fails. The church also succeeds. The church also does things. We're in this together. I understand how you feel. I understand what it means to have a full-time job and then a family and then try to figure it all out. How to budget the funds. How to give something to the church. I understand the challenges. We are all in this together. It's a good thing. Jesus loves the church, and so should we. We have been commanded. And suffering, serving the church will come with suffering. So let's take a look at that. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Whether we're serving, whether we're proclaiming to the lost or serving the church, we're going to suffer. That's part of the plan. It's no surprise. It's not. You're not alone. When you've given to the church and it showed no appreciation, you're not alone. Everyone else has felt it, has experienced it. That's part of the blessing, believe it or not, because we're doing it for Christ. We're doing it because we love him. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. That's some good stuff, and we're almost done here, so hang with me. For it is time for the judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God, the good news of God? You see, judgment begins with the church. And I'm going to unpack this so you understand what that means really quick. In order to do that, we've got to take a look at this struggle a little deeper. In Hebrews chapter 12, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Back to the struggling for Jesus. What's the worst that's going to happen to us? You know, have any of us, has the church or the world tried to kill you yet? Thankfully, no, not in this part of the world, but it is going on to our brothers and sisters around the world. And you have forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as sons. Our trials and tribulations, whether it be the church or the world, is for our sanctification. God wants to raise us up to make us mature in Christ. Those challenges will come and it will purify us. That's its purpose. It's to make us like Jesus. And of course it goes on to say, endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Remember, Christians struggle with sin, the lost simply lose. There's a huge difference. If you're struggling with sin, praise the Lord, you must belong to Christ, because the lost, your lost friends are not struggling with it. They're diving into it like a swimming pool. Moreover, we all have human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and life? For our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Do you want to share in the holiness of God the Father? Doesn't that seem presumptuous? God's holy. Oh, God's a holy and he's mystery. I can always tell folk when I'm dealing with folks who are kind of immature when they say, God works in mysterious ways, only for those people who don't read their Bible, quite frankly, because they're not paying attention. God wants us to share in his holiness. That means set apartness. He wants us to be set apart from the world and be like him. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness. And look at that. Peace. Peace in the heart for those who have been trained by it. Let that next hardship teach you to let go. Yeah, Jesus, you're my supplier. You're my God. You're the reason, and for that, I can let go. Whatever hardship, whatever pain, whatever injustice has been done to me, I can let it go because I serve Jesus. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. It makes us stronger to serve Jesus. You see how this is going? I know there's a lot of content, and I'm just like hosing you down with Bible, but that's okay. I hope you go away and let it soak in. 1 Peter 4:18, and if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinner? Now, what is he talking about here? If hard for the righteous to be saved, well, you know, God did sacrifice his son on the cross on our behalf, you know, for anyone who's willing to trust in him. But it even goes deeper than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15, Paul's writing, and people are trying to cause these divisions. And so Paul is starting to say, first he starts here, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Back to the gospel. Why do we do anything? The gospel. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. That is the last day. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. But, see this yellow stuff? But he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So we come to Christ and we spend the rest of our lives being sanctified and serving the Lord. We use the gifts God gave us for the church, to build the church up. Or we play these games and showboats. Whatever is not quality, good stuff gets burned up. It's not an issue of salvation, because as you can see, he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. What do you want to last? What do you want to throw at the feet of Christ that endured after the test? What do you want to throw at the feet of Christ? You know, this is the type of salvation we're speaking of. There are those who are going to be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames by the skin of their teeth. And then Jesus said this one that really flipped out the disciples. Jesus said, "Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Pause right there for a second. I've heard so many preachers say this meant something other than what he just meant. No, it means what he said. It means the eye of a needle, which is how big? Pretty teeny. Teeny, teeny. And it's easier for a camel, which are pretty big, bigger as my car, to go through the eye of a needle. That's what he meant. Than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How do we know Jesus meant what he said? Because look at the disciples' response. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Come on, that's impossible. How do we know they meant that's impossible? Because look at Jesus' response. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Only God can save a human being. There are people out there who believe they can save their own soul. They believe that if they do enough right acts or something, that they're going to make it in. They're going to clean themselves up enough and be good enough for God to accept them. They've already failed. Because that's not the gospel. That's something else. That's hell. That's hell. Why would you even want God to look at your works and say, "I hope that was good enough"? That's horrible. There's no hope in that. So now we're coming back. Well, we're not quite back at Peter, but here's Peter. Peter answered them, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, to the disciples, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits in his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit with 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And everyone, now here's where it refers to us. Us. Here's the disciples. Here's us. "And everyone who has left his houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, or children, or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." That's the universal all. That's everyone who trusts in Christ. "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." So in conclusion, yes, folks, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the conclusion of this message. There's only one response. And this is what 1 Peter writes in 4:19. "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." That's how 1 Peter wraps up the fourth chapter. Next week's the fifth chapter and the last chapter of 1 Peter. But do you get it? Where in there do we throw in the towel? Where in there do we give up? Not performance, obedience. Never give up being obedient to Christ. You can give up your performance. God will be more than happy to kill that on the cross. But obedience, trust and obey. Sound like a hymn? Okay, let's pray. Father, that's a lot of verses, and that's a lot of truth for these saints to take in. And we ask, Father, that we would trust and obey, that we would sacrifice for you, that we would be willing to suffer for you, and most importantly, Lord Jesus, that we would love the church like you have loved the church. Even though, Jesus, we have failed you as a church, you love us and you keep bestowing grace upon grace that we just keep going. And thankfully, Father, that's the plan. So now, Father, may we love the church as you love the church. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
There's some food for thought. please visit thespeakanddeacon.com and get connected to the growing number of social media Christians. Thespeakanddeacon.com. Truth is here.